I'm talking about formed for God's family. All right? Now, if I say the word family to you, that doesn't immediately conjure up a picture of God's family or God's idea of a family. It will bring to your mind your own experience of a family. And for each of us, that will be a very different picture. You know, I don't know what your family life was like. I know what my family life was like. And for some of us, you know, each of us have got a different family, and we've all got a different family experience. For some of us, that will be a lovely, warm feeling, like a blanket being wrapped around you. And for others, it will be, no thanks, I don't do family. Our earthly families that we've been born into, they can be one of two things. They could be a good, solid foundation that set us in good stead for the future, or it could be something that's broken and fractured and might have even damaged us by our experience. Now, I grew up in a big family. Mum, dad, and there was 8 children. So it was quite a busy family. And you know, when I told my grandchildren that I've never slept in a bed on my own or had my own bedroom, they were absolutely gobsmacked. They couldn't believe that I'd never slept in a bed on my own, because I shared a bed with my sister. And for us, there were 6 of us sleeping in one room with 3 beds in it. And there wasn't room for anything else, just the 3 beds. It looked like a continuous bed, to be quite honest. But it was 3 separate beds. But, you know, I didn't know any different. So there were good times in being in a large family, and there were not so good times. And all 8 of us grew up in this family together, but, you know, each one of us had a different childhood. Depending on where you were in the family, the oldest person had a different childhood than the youngest one. I was smack bang in the middle, right? And, you know, one memory that I have, as I'm saying this, you're probably thinking about your families and memories that you've got, good ones, bad ones, indifferent ones. But, you know, one memory that I have is about being, I think I was about 5 or 6. And I got sent to the bedroom for misbehaving, which was actually quite a common thing. I got sent there quite a lot, to be quite honest. And I was stood in the bedroom, and there was an old fireplace in the corner of the room where my shared bed was with my sister. And I was stood by the fireplace crying, and that's how I know how old I was, because I measured myself on the fireplace. I've since been back and had a look at the fireplace and thought, right, okay, I know how tall I was. I was about so tall. And it was, you know, it was that point in my life that I actually realised that there was someone there for me. You know, at that point in time, I didn't know it was God. I just remember feeling, obviously, standing there crying and feeling quite distressed and upset, and just feeling a distinct presence and knowing that there was somewhere, someone there for me who would listen to me, someone who cared. And I can't explain it. All I can say is that is what I experienced. But I now know that that was God. So, you know, it's not an adult experience. This is a child experience as well. So much so that that's in my permanent memory. You know, I don't think I'll ever forget that. And I know that that was God. And that brings me to a psalm that I want to just share with you that you probably all know very, very well. Psalm 139. There's a couple of verses in there that I want to share with you. Because when we're talking about family, you've got to start somewhere. And you normally start from where you're born, when you're born into that family. And Psalm 139 says, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. No, Father God knew you before you were formed, while you were being formed, and he knows you now better than you know yourself. And I think I've told you this before, but I remember seeing a scan video of my firstborn granddaughter. My daughter showed it to me. And while they were doing the scan, the baby turned and faced the front of the camera. And I saw this little face before it was born. And it just reminded me of that verse. I saw that baby before she was born. And you know, when my granddaughter was born and I saw that little face, I thought, I know that face. I've seen it before. You know, that is what God is talking about. That is how intimately he knows us. You know, and that for me is just such a precious thought. It draws me closer to the Father, knowing that he knows everything that there is to know about me. There's nothing. I can't hide anything from him, and nor can you. And that is who our Heavenly Father is. But it tells us that not only does he know the earthly family he put us into, but we were also formed for God's family. And it tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." And that is what we are. That's who we are. You know, the songs that we were singing earlier, it's talking about who we are in God, and knowing and being confident that that's who we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. You know, God didn't need a family because he's God. He didn't need a family. He wanted a family. And he wanted you to be part of that family. He wanted you to be part of that family. Now, my daughter Erica, she lives in Guernsey. And last year was a significant birthday for her. And so everybody was saying to her, what do you want as a birthday present? What would you like as a birthday present? So she said, what I'd like is I would like a family tree. I'd like to know, like, a little bit about my ancestry. So my other daughter, Catherine, decided that she'd do that, that she would go and explore this. Well, it took us on a huge journey. So Catherine had her DNA done. And, you know, we were contacted by people that we didn't know existed, but they were related to us by DNA, right? And it was really quite weird. You know, these people that we didn't know contacted us on through the internet and said, I've had my DNA done and we are connected to you. We are your however many cousins once removed or whatever. Somebody from America contacted us. And he'd been adopted in Canada, been taken to America, and he was connected to my grandmother, all because of just one DNA that was put out there. And, I mean, we found out some quite interesting things. We did find out that actually I'm more Scottish than Malcolm is. And he was gutted. He was absolutely gutted. He couldn't believe that. How can you be more Scottish than I am? But my dad actually is from Scotland. And we traced Malcolm's family right back to Robert the Bruce, James the First of Scotland, and James the Sixth of England. And then Catherine, my daughter, was reading a book about Queen Elizabeth II. And as she's reading this book, she sees the name of this lady in the book. And she thought, I know that lady's name. So she then looked at it again and took it back to the family tree. And this lady in Queen Elizabeth II's ancestry is in Malcolm's ancestry. And you think, oh, wow. I mean, my grandson actually said, well, if we're related to James I of Scotland and James VI of England, where's the money? And he told his tutor at school, and she said to him, "What do you want? What would you like me to call you, Maxwell? Prince?" And he went, "Yeah, that'll do." And I thought, you know, our spiritual DNA is firmly rooted in God from the beginning of time. We might all have different physical DNA, but as Christians, when we place our faith in Christ, God becomes our Father and we become his children. Other believers become our brothers and sisters, and the church becomes our spiritual family. You know, every human being was created by God, and the invitation to be part of God's family is universal, with only one condition for becoming part of the family, and that says, you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And with that belonging to God's family and being his son or daughter comes benefits. So you can call yourself a prince because you're a child of the King of Kings. You can call yourself a princess because you are a child of the King of Kings. And with that belonging, as I say, comes benefits. We have family privilege. I've got no privilege at all from having any relatives that are related to James I of Scotland or James VI of England. We've got no benefits from that at all. There was no money. There was no land, no castles, nothing, no inheritance. As far as they're concerned, we're a nobody. But we have a family privilege when we belong to God as part of his children. We have a name, a family name. It says we have a likeness to our Father. We have intimate family access to the Father. We have a family that will last forever, and we have an inheritance as a child of God. Not only do we have an inheritance for the things to come, but we get a down payment here on earth. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, and my God, my Father, my Heavenly Father, will meet all our needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That's amazing, isn't it? That's now. That's accessible to you now. You can go to God's bank of riches, and it says he will provide all your needs, not your wants, your needs. And I know that there are people in this room who've proved that time and time again. I've proved that time and time again, where God has stepped in and provided in the most amazing way. And you can just say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. My earthly family couldn't help me, but my heavenly Father definitely could. As children of God, we get a share in the family fortune. And when I say fortune, riches is not always money. You know, when we say fortune, we think of money, don't we? Or jewels, or gold. It says, here on earth, we are given the riches of his grace. We are given forgiveness. We're given kindness. We're given patience. We're given wisdom. We're given power and mercy. They are all priceless gifts as part of our earthly inheritance. Now, I don't know if you've ever received an inheritance. Has anybody ever received an inheritance? No? Right. Well, my dad was a he had a very hard upbringing. And he was born way, way up in the north of Scotland to a farm worker and was told that his mother died in childbirth. He was born in the poorhouse. So if you're born in the poorhouse, you've got nothing. And he was born in the poorhouse. He was brought up by his father and his stepmother, and he left home when he was 15 and joined the army. And from that time onwards, he didn't really have much to do with his family. And I remember one day, when I was young, he received a letter from his stepsister to say that his father had died. And a few months later, we received a letter from a solicitor to say that there was an inheritance. Well, for some reason, my father's share was to be divided between himself and his 8 children, so we would all get something. So we all got an individual letter from this solicitor saying we were going to get this inheritance. Well, as a family, Charlotte's laughing. As a family, I'd never been on a holiday in my whole childhood. So maybe one day, a coach trip to the beach. My gran used to organise once a year a coach trip to the beach, and we'd all get on the coach and go to the beach for the day. That was our holiday. And so we sat there and we planned and we talked about this huge family holiday that we were all going to have with this money, this inheritance, right? And we were sat there saying, we'll put it all together and we'll plan this holiday. Well, I mean, we just laugh about it now, because if we put it all together, there would not be enough to go on a bus trip to the New Forest, let alone a family holiday. I think we got about £40 each, and that was it. But you know, our Heavenly Father's inheritance is absolutely vast. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I want you to realise what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given you to his people, his children, you and me, his sons and his daughters. So prepare to be excited. You get more than a trip to the New Forest, more than a family holiday. One, we get to be with Father God forever. There's no separation. Number two, we will be completely changed to be like Christ. For years and years and years as Christians, we've tried our best to be followers of Christ, to be like him. We get that in heaven. That is part of our inheritance. We get to be changed to be like Christ. Number three, we will be freed from all pain, death and suffering. And I know there's probably some people sat there this morning who are in pain. We get to be freed from all pain, death and suffering. No more sickness, no more pain. Nothing can ever harm you again. Four, we will be rewarded and reassigned positions of service. You will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I can't wait to hear that. You know, I just want to hear God say that to me. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Well done. We get to share in Christ's glory. Jesus Christ, the Son of God Most High. We, me and you, get to share in his glory. And it tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, it said, God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. This means that your eternal inheritance is priceless. It's pure, it's permanent, it's protected. It's not in a bank that could go bust. It's pure, it's protected. No one can take it from you. It cannot be destroyed by war or a poor economy or a natural disaster. It cannot be destroyed at all. It's yours because we are family. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High, and that is who we are. If you've accepted Jesus into your life and you're following him, that is who you are. That's your identity. And that really thrills me to think that, you know, I've got that. I've got that identity with God. So how did I qualify for that amazing inheritance? I qualify, you qualify, because God is love. And he loves you. He loves me. And because he loves us so much, he asks us to share that love with others. He asks us to make loving each other and loving each other in the world a priority. In fact, there's, you know, he puts it in the Bible for us to read. The commandments, they talk about loving God and then loving our neighbours as ourselves, as our family on earth. And John was talking earlier about something that we wanted to do at Christmas for our neighbours, just to make sure that they know who God is. because we've all got a responsibility to tell other people. Don't keep it to yourself. It's precious, but don't keep it to yourself. It's too important that other people get to know. It says in Matthew chapter 25, the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did you see me hungry? When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king replied, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these, the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. So we were talking at the beginning about our act of worship, and it's not just about singing. Our act of worship to God is how we treat our fellow brothers and sisters, our neighbours. You know, even if they're not nice. You know, I've had some awful neighbours. But you find yourself, I've got to pray for these people. Because it's the only way that things will change, is if I pray for them. And we never once complained about them. You know, we didn't go to the police and say, you know, our neighbours are terrible, they're doing this, they're doing that, da 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 da. We didn't do that. We just kept quiet. And sometimes it was awful, but we just kept quiet. Because that's what God tells us to do. Love your neighbours, even if they're awful, love them. And giving that gift of love isn't about money or food or material things. Sometimes it's just about our time. You know, one of the greatest gifts of love that we can give is giving someone our time. Just sitting there and listening to them. You know, John mentioned a lot of people at Christmas feel very, very lonely. You know, that might be something that you can give to your neighbour, just a bit of your time. Do you want to come in for a cup of coffee? And just listen. And sometimes, yeah, it could be tedious just listening. But that's part of our worship. You know, God wants his family to be known for their love. And as I mentioned, the commandments, 4 of the 10 commandments deal with our relationship to God. And the 6 other commandments deal with our relationship with other people. So we've got to have that relationship with God. And then when we've got that, the rest starts to fall in place. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, and that's the first great commandment. The second is equally important, love your neighbours as yourself. You know, and as a world, we become taken up with making the living, don't we? Going to work, earning money, eating, drinking, and then we perhaps squeeze a bit of time in for relationships. But, you know, God is saying build relationships. That's more important. And showing God's love to other people is something we just need to do. So I think my prayer for each day ought to be, it's not always, but it ought to be, and I'm being totally honest, God, whether I get anything else done today, I want to make sure that I spend time loving you and loving other people, because that is what you ask us to do. I don't want to waste the day. I remember sitting on the underground years and years and years ago, and there was a Bible verse in the carriage on the top where they put all the adverts. Do not lay up treasures for yourself in heaven, on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. I mean, you wouldn't see that verse on the underground now. You wouldn't be allowed to put it there. But I just remember it, and it stuck in my head. You know, and you're thinking, yeah, that's what I've got to do. And, you know, as I've said, if you love the Lord, you belong in this family. There's no exception to that. You belong. You belong in this family if you love the Lord. And the Bible says that we are put together, joined together, built together, members together, heirs together, fitted together to support each other and to journey together. And as God's children, when we belong to a family together, that helps us to grow. That helps us to mature. You know, when I see my grandchildren growing up, you know, I see Maxwell, my grandson, he's 15 now, and he's as tall as Malcolm. But there he is in the garage, and Malcolm is showing him things, how he's making something. You know, Maxwell's standing there. And sometimes I can see by his face he's not really interested. You know, he's sort of, granddad's off again, you know. But it's, come and see what I'm doing. You know? So we're teaching. And that's what happens when we're in church. You know, children look to their parents, they look to their family, and that's what we are together. There's protection in our family, in a church. There's support in our family as a church. There's love in our family as a church. And there is covering in our family as a church. And all those things are so important to heavenly growth and healthy growth. That's why God gave us a model to live by. He knows what the world is like. He knows what the enemy's like. And he's just waiting in the wings, waiting to pluck people away. But we make sure that that doesn't happen by looking out for each other. It says we're told together to dwell together in unity, and we've each got a job to do. And when one person falls, then we all lift them up. You know, you don't just stand by and watch. Sometimes we have to carry them until they get back on their feet. We accept each other as different, but of the same Father. And we love each other and support each other as a family. That's what belonging brings. And that is security. That's our place to be. My sister moved to Canada when they were in their 30s. And she was a little bit older than me, but she was absolutely dreadful at spelling. Right? And she couldn't spell for toffee. She really couldn't. And when she moved to Canada, we used to write letters to each other. And I would get a letter, and if she couldn't spell a word, she would put the first letter of the word and then leave a gap with the intention of asking her husband how to spell the word, right? And sometimes she would forget. So I'd get this letter with all the words missing and just the start letter of every single one. And you know, I would just have to guess what she was trying to say and put in the blanks. But because she was my sister, and I got a fly flying at me, because she was my sister, I didn't care that she couldn't spell. It didn't make any difference. It didn't matter. You know, and that's how we are with each other. It doesn't matter. We all come different. In a family, acceptance is based not on how smart or how beautiful you are. It is based on the fact that you belong with each other because you've got the same Father. So this Father, our Heavenly Father, loves each of his children exactly the same. As I said earlier, there are no favourites. He doesn't love you any more than he loves me. And he doesn't love me any more than he loves you. He loves us all the same. And that is so important. So we don't need to compare ourselves with other people, thinking that they're better than us, because he loves us the same. He accepts us for who we are. He accepts us for what we can do. He accepts us for what we can't do. And quite often he'll bring you alongside somebody who can do that and can help you to do it. You know, so if you only take one sentence away today, take that sentence that God has no favourites and he loves you, and that God loves you for who you are. And I'm coming to the end. Jeremiah chapter 31, it says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Everlasting, it goes on forever. And we've got so much to learn, no matter how long we've been a Christian, or whether we're a new Christian, a baby in the faith, we can never get to the point where we say, I know it all. There's always more to learn. And I would encourage you, if you're on this 40-day journey with us, to just keep going. Just keep looking, just keep reading, just keep going. And just keep sharing with other people, because we're there to support each other. And I'm just going to finish with a verse in Jeremiah 17, and it says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It doesn't fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Because my Heavenly Father loves me so much, I just want to honour that love by being someone who trusts in him, one who is watered by his word, and one who demonstrates that love. You know, so it's oozing out of us each and every day. Now, I'm going to ask John to play the other version of the song. And what I want you to see is this is what happens when we start to share our faith, when we start to reach out to other people. They, in some way, are drawn to us because we just show them love. Sometimes that's all we can show them, is just love, just compassion, just friendship. And the first one, you just got the words. Now you're going to get the actions, all right? So I hope you see where I'm coming from in all of that. Okay, John, thank you.